And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Undefeated, you're undeclared, you're independent. I'm here, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. I am from the beautiful studios of freedomsfoenix.com. Man, that ding was right in time after the music because Frank just can't do it before. Okay? Is that you, Frank?
Yeah. Hey, for what it's worth, I had to get a new phone, and I'm trying to log in, and it turns out that the Zoom was not installed on the new phone, so I just quickly installed it, and I still got there before you started.
I got a flat tire, ran out of gas, and went my fault.
I still did it.
All right. Barely.
We have a few things to talk about today, don't we?
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah, all right, go ahead. You got me out of bed. I know you were bothering me a couple days ago. Oh, Frank, we got to do Trump report. Stuff's been happening.
Stuff's happening.
I'm going to rag on you, so go ahead. Let's go.
Something's happening. Stuff's happening. That's happening.
Golden Globes. Man, that's been all we're talking about, the Golden Globes. Right? I'm sure that's what that is.
I watched the what was it? It was after football or something. So right. We had it on, and I said, I'll watch the monologue. And then Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston comes, and I flipped it, and I don't care, okay? But I did watch the opening. And it's like 10 minutes of, what's his name, Rick Gervais or something?
Ricky Gervais.
Uh-huh. And he just ripped them good. He's like, you bunch of elite, you guys don't, it's my last time because I don't care. They'll also fire me, you know, bunch of suck-ups. So it hit kind of hard, I think. So it's all the play? Is that, I haven't been paying attention to, you know, how much it's hit conservative blogs or whatever. What's up?
You mean regarding the Gervais thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's been all over. I mean, heck, I'll put it this way. Not only is it
on Fox,
on Fox News and such, but it was talked about, let's say, with the Daily Wire. That Ben Shapiro did a whole thing on it himself. I mean, he was just ragging on it and just laughing. Not to mention, and we've covered on the show. And by the way, guys, we are serious. Well, we will get to the little international affair, the little international affair problem that we have. I'm sure Ernie's going to love that one. But before we get to that, so we cover on the show quite a bit the culture wars and the culture the swap over, you know, between pop culture and political culture and the different views. I often bring up Star Wars and many of the pop culture issues, only to show the interplay between and how much that this culture war has sucked in people, especially younger people, that don't really want anything to do with the political narrative, but they keep getting sucked into it. And that's what the Ricky Gervais thing deals with as well. It's the fact that liberals keep hammering these problems and they keep converting people who are kind of the moderates or maybe even people that didn't care for Trump. But this culture war is basically, dare I say, trumping the political issues. And that's what the two of us have argued about for some time, that it's not about abortion anymore or even about the economy, which it pretty much should be. This is getting into a deeper level of just who we are as Americans, and can we even agree about being neighbors because we're being that fractured. So this is a deeper issue. Anyway, the Ricky Gervais thing really, really hit home with that. On the YouTube, for instance, when we cover these, I'm trying to bring this all together for you, the Star Wars videos and the people doing these videos, especially bashing the latest Star Wars movie and all the problems with Disney and the corporate takeovers and the culture wars within pop culture, those sites that deal with Star Trek and the new Doctor Who, which is the female Doctor Who, and that one just crashed and burned, went woke, is going broke. I mean, across the board. Well, what I'm getting to is all of those pop culture sites, they have now all spent the last 2 days covering the Ricky Gervais story because it's the interplay. It's the blending, the melding of these two worlds. And that's what I've kept showing to talking about on the show, is that these pop culture shows are really the kind of like the comedians. They're like the front line of the culture war. They're people who don't want to talk about politics. They're getting sucked into it. And this was a perfect blend of it. So yeah, it's been all over, and I was pretty surprised. It'd be interesting if Ricky Gervais winds up getting maybe pulled in to host next year, because the ratings for the Golden Globes were lower this year than they were last year because they keep sinking, which of course was this guy's joke. And the liberals are saying, you see, Ricky Gervais didn't bring any new viewers.
Oh, are you kidding me? He's the only reason anybody watched any of it.
No. The thing is, nobody watched it live. What happened was, if you actually look, like the people who watched it live was like nobody. But if you look at the YouTube monologue opening, just his opening got, what was it? It was like 3 million views in like one day.
Oh, when I looked at it, when I first looked at it, it was 1.5 million views, and all the other speeches and presentations just barely broke 100,000. So he was like 14 times bigger then, and that wasn't even a full day. So I'm going, yeah, no, I don't know what they're going to spend this as.
Remember, Ricky Gervais is basically, I mean, he's kind of a multimillionaire liberal. I mean, the thing is, he's a classic liberal, and that's why it's important we make these distinctions, as much as I hate throwing these words around. But when we talk about liberal, and of course, to your credit, I mean, you'll hammer me whenever I use that word liberal. You're always asking me to define it. But when we're talking liberal, we're talking the old, the classical liberal, the liberal that used to be the one who would stand up at Berkeley and say, I may hate what you say, but I'll defend your right to say it.
Right.
Those are the liberals that basically competed against.
Well, classical liberal is what libertarian is around the world. If you talk a libertarian, you know, you say liberal in Mexico, that's a libertarian, you know. So classical liberal used to be the libertarian. Well, of course, it would be bastardized and co-opted by the left and liberal. No, we're the real liberal. We're liberal. Because it doesn't matter whatever you wind up calling it. They'll, you know, take it over and rebrand, and it's always words. And George Orwell's like, it's always about newspeak, man. It's words. And I can see this happening. Well, Gervais, I don't know what he don't care. You know, I mean, he hasn't pissed me off too much. He's just more Hollywood. But he went out there and it was. I thought it was done very well. He kept them in their seats. They didn't stand up and run out. But it was. He definitely demonstrated disdain for the whole Hollywood thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he even threw in an Epstein joke. I mean, that was fantastic. Pointing it at them. He goes, yeah, I know,
you're all friends with him. I know.
You'll like him. I mean, exactly. I mean, and you know, the fact that he's demonstrating that the American people are just sick of being lectured to. And I think he really, for the first time, gave them that talking down to. The fact that they would sit back and lecture us and tell all of us men, well, what pigs and pathetic, you know, scumbags that we all are, that we're all going to sit there and
okay, and, I got, before you get the break, I, this is a good example.
Women, but at the same time, they're the ones protecting and working with Weinstein this entire time.
No, I mean, he went more than that. Okay, before we do, I want to get this in. This is what happened. We spent too much time on this anyway already. This is what happened. He goes, yeah, and Apple started their own TV station. They got their own morning show. God, it's great. Wonderful, great TV right on, and you guys, and it's all good. But when you guys get your award and everything, don't come up here. Thank your agent. Thank your God. Thank whatever. Get the F off. He goes, because you don't sit there and tell me how woke you are when Apple is doing sweatshops in China. And he goes, I know that if ISIS were to come up with a streaming channel, you'd have your agent calling them.
I know, that was great. And Tim Cook was sitting right there.
I know, it was awesome. So I'm just going, you know, the bloom is off the rose, man.
That's I know.
But right, Justin, time for us going to war. When we come back, war. tomorrow we have Ron Paul on. He's going to be helping us understand what's ahead.
Oh, fantastic.
And so let's go ahead and see how much Frank knows.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
Yeah, they got Mark Dice, or Mike, that where his name is. Yeah, Mark. Mark Dice doing a thing on it here. I haven't got to watch all this stuff yet.
Yeah,
let's go to war, man. We can't see. It's just kind of shit that distracts.
Let's just finish whatever about pop culture stuff now, and let's hit the war thing after the break.
Well, go into the third hour or no?
Maybe a tad, maybe halfway into it.
All right, because I won't be spending the freaking 30% of our time on this crap.
Well, this is sort of where this whole battle is.
The liberals are figuring it out.
And by the way, I sent this link to you right now, to you and Donna. You don't have to put it up, but I just want to thank. It comes from my mother, from Grandma Connie here. She sent me a link from YouTube, and it might seem kind of odd at first here, but it is Dirty Jokes in Classic Cartoons, the ultimate compilation. And before YouTube strikes it down, it's got Walt Disney and, of course, has Goofy cartoons and Bugs Bunny and all these different clips of cartoons that have been pretty much censored and banned anymore, politically incorrect. So speaking of with Ricky Gervais and Dave Chappelle and people saying we have to put a stop to this constant ongoing censorship and cancel culture. This might be something interesting to put online. That it is still legal. It's still legal. They haven't banned it yet. But if nothing else for you old timers, that might
bring it on. I don't care.
Smile. Yeah, no, I just sent it to you, so definitely put that up. So yeah, so it's fascinating to watch this occur and with the liberals and just watching them lose their power and their sway, like just start just basically evaporate. And of course, Ricky Gervais did it in a second way too, which is publicly identifying the fact that nobody is listening to them. You know, he's admitting that nobody's listening to them. He's talking about how Netflix has taken everything over. Nobody's watching their shows. I mean, it's true. I mean, the grip that they've had on the culture is lost, and I don't even think that they see it yet. You know, they're all in their own bubbles in Hollywood between the money, as it's often brought up, that California is really one of the first American oligarchies. It's truly an oligarchy, if you think about it, as far as the people that are running that place.
Yeah, run by China now. So I get it. You know, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, if you're looking at the look, it was interesting. Tim Pool did a great video a couple of days ago. The tagline was about AOC and battling Biden, whatever. It was like something stupid. But he really went into in that video talking deeper about that there is no Democrat Party. That if you actually are checking out the numbers, Democrat Party is blown apart. Trump, of course, all the money is going towards Trump as a candidate and the Republican Party unified. Whereas the Democrats, they actually the Democratic Party itself is losing money.
Back.
Actually in debt. And we're back. Okay. So anyway, just finishing up. The Democrat Party is in debt actually, and the money that they're raising is all going towards independent candidates. And that's sort of the kicker, is that people are, they're going through their own civil war right now, and they're going through their reckoning, which they have to do. The Republican Party went through it the last few times. with Ron Paul, speaking of Dr. Ron Paul, I mean, Dr. Ron Paul kind of started a lot of this internal fighting about what is the soul of being Republican, which I know is different than for libertarians, but the Tea Party, you know, is coming from Ron Paul, realizing that maybe the Republican position shouldn't be focused all about abortion issues and being the world's policeman. Maybe it's about basic economics and don't spend more than we have. And that's where the Tea Party came from. That, of course, you know, then Ron Paul was basically locked out. It became very evident thanks to people like Jay Leno and Freedom's Phoenix. But then, of course, that led to the anger for Donald Trump, and even Donald Trump admitting himself, "I'm not going to be Ron Paul'd," as he kind of said. And so, therefore, you know, that's what the Democrats have to go through. They have to clean house themselves, and they are in that fracture right now. Obviously, I think it's going to lead to Donald Trump and maybe a sweep. We'll have to see what happens in 2020. But that's a nice segue into the war, because the one thing Donald Trump has run on, and he
is anti-war.
It's basically peace and prosperity.
Yeah, no, he lost it with me here. We're done. You know. Okay, check this out. Bob Anderson sent me this text. He goes, "Bolton and the war crowd are blackmailing Trump with their testimony to either save him or sink him. This is their way to force him into war with Iran. That they have wanted for decades. Notice all of a sudden Bolton wants to testify. He could either throw under the bus or exonerate him."
Right.
So, is Trump willing to, you know, he's like, "All right, boom, we got this guy now. Now are we good? Are we good?" No, you're never good. Once you go in with him, you're done. You know, I was bet money on Trump winning in 2020 until this.
Yeah, I agree. This is not good. Although, and God, and for the record, I'm not trying to play devil's advocate on purpose. In some ways, that's kind of my role in this show. I have to play the Juan Williams part. And I often wonder if Juan Williams always does agree with liberals when he's got to defend them on Fox. But anyway, for what it's worth, you know, the argument that they're making, for those of you that I'm sure they're following it, is that this was not retaliation from the past. It's basically stopping their intelligence. We all know about intelligence, you know, with weapons of mass destruction, but that the intelligence is that they were about to attack us at some point. Now, of course, this is coming from the same deep staters with the little bow tie that we just saw come out of the closet and come out of the rocks over these so-called impeachment hearing. These same deep state people kept saying, "Hey, you know, you guys kept us out of the loop, and we're not involved, and blah, 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 and we know what's going on, and you people don't." These are the same people now that Republicans are listening to, saying, "Oh, boy, Iran's twirling their mustache, and we have to stop them." So with all that out of the way first, I just want to point out that I do trust Donald Trump's intentions, okay? Now, of course, it always comes down to what does he know, and what is the credibility of whatever he's being told. Personally, I think not only John Bolton, of course, is deep state, but I think the real weasel in the grass, who I still don't trust, I'm calling him the weasel, is Lindsey Graham. I've never trusted that guy. He was definitely team deep state, or at least as far as military industrial complex. His best buddy, I mean, heck, he was a little lapdog to John McCain, and he was anti-Trump up until John McCain died. And the minute he died, all of a sudden, Lindsey Graham was now not invited on CNN to be the token Republican next to Mitt Romney and John McCain. And Lindsey Graham was always the guy in the background that was very articulate, very passionate, but supported the deep state, or at least, let's say the establishment Republican neocon. Up until John McCain's gone, then he's Team Trump. And he comes out during the Kavanaugh hearings, and he does that real, impassionate defense of Kavanaugh, which was fantastic. And all of a sudden, he's the hottest guest on Fox News. And for the overall conservatives, like he jumped on the Trump train. Well, Lindsey Graham.
Okay.
Lindsey Graham. The whole thing, he completely switched. He was Team CNN, everything, and getting bashed by Trump. And remember, if you ever remember during the campaign, Lindsey Graham was bashing Donald Trump. And remember when Donald Trump trolled Lindsey Graham for doing it, and Donald Trump released Lindsey Graham's phone number publicly? He told everyone to give Lindsey a call. And so Lindsey's phone blew up from like all the Trump supporters. And Lindsey, to his credit, wound up kind of combating that on YouTube. And he actually made a video of him taking his cell phone with his number and basically smashing his cell phone with this giant mallet. So he did make his own kind of, he was a little cute about it, showing everyone that, yeah, I have to switch phones now, and he bashed the phone. But anyway, that was the fight that he had with Trump during the John McCain time. But it was astounding how he switched to Team Trump the minute John McCain was dead. And then the Kavanaugh thing. And now Lindsey Graham is like the hero for a lot of Republicans who don't have memories. And I always sat back and said, what is his role? You know, I think it's for him, the weasel, to get close to the president so that he can earn his trust, not only of Trump's trust, but the trust of the voters, of the supporters, because that's the danger. So if you can kind of just cozy up to the supporters and get them supporting you and get Donald Trump at some rally saying, yeah, Lindsey Graham's out. He's fantastic. Isn't he great? Isn't he great? And everyone cheers. Well, then now Lindsey Graham is basically he's in like Flynn. And just yesterday, he was on Fox and Friends, and he was being interviewed by the phone or whatever. And he made a comment. It was amazing. He said, it was just a little like off-the-cuff comment, that Donald Trump had some kind of like war meeting, or I guess we would call it war meeting. He had a meeting about this just a couple days ago. It may have been in Mar-a-Lago. I forget wherever it was. But he had like a very only for the top players. And Lindsey Graham, he acknowledged he wanted to thank the president for keeping him in the fold, because he was invited to that very, very small little meeting. And that said everything to me, because that was the issue during the deep state come out during the impeachment hearings.
What, he got to sleep in the Lincoln bedroom or something?
I don't know. But the fact that he even stated that, because he knows Trump watches that show. So he's basically thanking Trump, oh, thank you for keeping me in the loop and keep me as a best bud and all of this. But that is the guy who's been the direct link to the military-industrial complex. And actually, I think he inherited the reins from John McCain. Because with John McCain gone, who is the most senior military or let's say Republican, because they kind of go hand in hand. So who is the most senior Republican to defend the military-industrial complex? If you happen to be a company that makes aircraft carriers, basically, what representative or senator do you pay off to make sure that your deal goes through?
I don't know who's on the right committee. That's who.
Well, yeah. Well, Lindsey Graham. I'll bet you anything. You know, we should look that up.
All right, I'm
positive.
Look it up.
Let's look it up if he's on that committee. I'd be shocked if he wasn't.
Lindsey Graham committee.
I could be wrong, but
no, I guarantee he's on the Ways and Means or Appropriations or
exactly.
something, you know, committee. You know, well, I got pulled up here. We'll talk about it when we come back. Okay, well, he's at least on the judiciary, so that's big enough right there. Okay, let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Committee assignments. Boom. Okay, let's see. Committee on International Relations, Education in the Workforce, Judiciary, and Armed Services. Well, I guess we're good.
Guess that counts.
Okay, well, let's see. Committee assignments to 02. Okay, well, that was his house, I guess. Okay, let me see. That was when he was in the House. Well, that's freaking enough right there. Okay, so let's go committee assignments as Senate. Let's see. Senator announced he would be chairman, yada, yada, and Graham would take his place as Committee on Appropriations, Subcommittee on Commerce, Justice Science-related Agencies, Subcommittee on Defense, Energy, Water Development, Labor, Health, Human Services, Education, Subcommittee on Department of State, Foreign Operations, Transportation, Housing, Urban Development, yada, 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 Foreign Relations Committee, Committee on the Budget, Committee on Judiciary. He's committed. He's, he's got enough committees. So, I mean, the big ones here is Foreign Relations, Budget, Judiciary, Appropriations. I mean, that's freaking everything right there,
Yeah, yeah.
So, appropriations is the money. And the money going to Foreign Relations and Armed Services and Judiciary. So I'm just, he's like, whatever. And what is he? Majority Whip, Leader, Head, something? What is his title?
No, he's not the Majority Whip. That's Kevin McCarthy. I think he's the Majority Whip in the House.
Well, he's Majority what? He's something. Committee assignments. November 18, yada, 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 yada. So I guess he's just senator.
Well, yeah. McCarthy's the House now. Yeah.
Political positions referred to by Tea Party movement as a moderate Republican. See, to say this Ron Paul Tea Party thing, that was all bullshit. They just took and called it Tea Party because he raised all that money on Tea Party Day, and they just wanted to kind of jump on the phrase, you know. And the first one big Tea Party they had in Washington, D.C., it was all the Ron Paul signs were pushed off into the thousands in the back, and they had all their, you know, Fox bats or whatever up front doing whatever the hell they said was going on, you know. And I'm just, it's so much crap. Let's see, National Security Agency surveillance. So Graham, he's like everything, you know. He's in there being.
See, it's an interesting question. Is like, you know, who is the spiritual torchbearer for the party? And you know, typically you might think, let's say with the Democrats, you know, you'd say, okay, well, it was the Clintons for the longest time, and then Obama came, and then the split was between Obama and Hillary. A, because, well, she's a sociopath and she can't give up control. Obama was kind of the spiritual leader, let's say, of the Democrats until this past election. And now, of course, you know, Obama is being considered by progressives as they're calling him a conservative. I mean, that's how much that they're splitting apart. So the question is, who is the spiritual leader of the Democrat Party right now? Now, I know your answer, Ernie, is that you know,
there is
that
one.
You don't care, that you just don't care, and I get that. But the thing is, it does show you the direction or lack of direction of a party. And the same thing with the Republicans. You know, the media wanted to keep the narrative that the torchbearer was the Mitt Romneys, the John McCains. A, because they were beatable the way they saw it. They were not threatening. They were like the palatable Republican. And that was just
all right, here we're coming back. Let's not miss it this time. Here we go.
.fm. That's discord.lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Stop me, cause I'm having a good time, having a good time.
Shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity.
And maybe a couple others, cause I can. You know, that, or I just don't care. This is Lindsey Graham. He's coming out. He's going, so I would urge every American to vaccinate their children, and I would reject any effort to stop vaccinations until someone can show me a scientific reason to do so. Yeah? And then what? You want reasons? I'll show you reasons. Nah, they don't care. You know, and that he was criticizing Rand Paul for Rand going, you know, like freedom and stuff. You know, nope, not allowed.
The way I see it is that Donald Trump all of a sudden pulling Lindsey Graham into his inner circle is the equivalent of when Donald Trump put Goldman Sachs people in his administration. That's, to me, it's like you're just bringing the wolf into the hen house. And the question is, does Trump know that or not? I can't. And that's the question. I don't know. I mean, I always, at the end of the day, I hate to sound formulaic, but, you know, trust in Trump. The guy has instincts beyond everybody else. That's why he beat everyone, including career politicians, to be where he's at.
Yeah, but if that's his goal, then that's not necessarily my goal, just to have him president again. I don't care.
Yeah, but yeah, the thing is, does he know? And I can't imagine someone with Trump's instincts of poker playing can't figure out who to trust or who whatever. But, you know, look, he follows the book Art of War to the letter. I mean, heck, his book is Art of the Deal, which is really Art of War.
I don't care if your ladder's on the wrong wall. It doesn't matter how high you get on it. You know, he's like, I win. Win what? You know, am I freer? You know, is it, you know, leave me a losing more? You know, did you go in more debt? Are you starting more war? I mean, I, you know, the bloom's off for me, man.
Look, if you're an absolutist about the war issue.
Oh, yeah.
Which I know you are. I know you are. I'm just trying. Look, you're going to ask me what my thoughts are with it. Do I think it's abysmal. I think it's horrible. I think it could basically completely derail his chances. The whole peace and prosperity issue. It feels like the deep state, after all of this, still got their claws into him. It feels tainted. I mean, I can go on and on. I get it. But at the same time, I mean, look, let's at least play your rule, Ernie, the two-week rule. It hasn't been 2 weeks yet. Or is it 3 weeks?
Three weeks. Well, so, you know, he had plenty of warning. I remember Tucker Carlson coming out and directly look, man, you go to war, you're done. FYI, you know.
Did you see Tucker's monologue last night?
No, amazing. No. What do you say? Donna put up Tucker's monologue last night. It's played over the break.
It's epic. It's fantastic. And he's making the same points. Right, he said, look, we just spent how much time denouncing the deep state. They came out of their rock. And now all of a sudden we're being told that we have to support these same people. Oh, yeah. Guess what? You know, there's evil people out there and we have to give them control and listen to them. It's the same people that have been beating the drum about Iran for years, and they keep trying to find a way to drag Trump into it. And the question is, therefore, if Trump, and Trump knows this, but the thing is, what is it that he learned that made him finally push the button? And that's the question. I don't know. I mean,
don't care
whether
whatever it was, it's probably, you know, to keep us there or because they're going to do something we didn't want and we had to in Israel. I mean, you know, I don't care. Don't effing care. Don't care. You know, start more war and do kind of bomb. And, you know, one of the stories that we had up from Veterans Today, and it may be more conspiratorial, whatever. I just put all this stuff up. You guys figure it out. And but they're saying that he was there at the invitation of Trump. Trump, through the Iraqis, invited him to come to negotiate a blah, 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 to talk about something. He goes and they kill him. What?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going, yeah, that's going to flush well, you know? So if that's true, I'm going, damn.
Yeah, a big if, but we don't know. I mean, I don't know. Let's see it this way. The Democrats have been doing everything to get him in war, right? I mean, the kicker is, too, they can't even make up their minds. First, they say,
I know. I don't give a crap what they say. They're so all over the map.
The guy's unstable when he was running, and he's going to be nuking the whole world and nuke North Korea because he's got a big ego and a big, you know, got a penis issue.
And now he doesn't nuke him enough.
Yeah, exactly. Then, of course, then when he's president, then he's trying to have peace with Russia and North Korea. And then all of a sudden, he's selling out our interests doing that. He's not doing enough. So, of course, you know, you got the peacenik Democrats saying that Trump's not it's not a warmonger enough. And we just went through that. And how many different ways they try to bait him with the war drums, including getting all the neocons on board. And that was like last year at some point we went through all that. And so they keep trying to get him to do this. And
if
so
part of his negotiation to do the war is to start this, if that was part of his, got even to consider it, even to make this part of a decision process, that just puts them right up there with all the other dictators. With a push button assassination. And I'm this is exactly where I knew this drone stuff was going to go, because they're doing all these little Baghdadi, you know, guys or the leaders of or the head of the yada yada and, you know, little baby body parts and all over the fence in the backyard of the wedding. But I'm going, you know, when they did this, I'm going, all right. All right, it's over.
Okay, wait, Ernie. So I'm not trying to.
How are they going to be not justified in doing anything here in the United States of America? Oh, they're really bad guys. They assassinated, bombed, turned on the cell of the yet, and it could be a false flag. They need this because I guarantee we're going to have stuff happening here in the homeland, here in America, here on the shores. And
exactly.
Whether the Iranians do it or not, I guarantee it happens. And what's going to happen? It's going to be some parishioner, some mall goer, some guy's going to have his own gun, pull out and boom, boom, and get the bad guy and find out. And he was a guy that died in the special forces 2 years ago that's not dead. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, it's going to be some crap like that. So what do they have to do? They got to have a backup guys and get these guys or the guys and everybody dies. You know, it's just, it's so manipulative. No, they wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. Of course they'll do that. We're going into whatever the hell it is that they want us to go in. So what's the solution? It's decentralization of everything. You know, it's just, you know what? Yeah, you guys, whatever, man. I'm just, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
I'm asking a question, and I'm not doing this to defend Trump, because I just don't know what he knows. That's the question, and I'm looking at the people around
and
him.
And I'm where I don't freaking
the
care.
The Democrats, the Democrats have nothing. They know they're going to be obliterated in 2020. So, and if they're also in cahoots with the deep state, who definitely want a war, and they've been wanting this for, you know, for multiple generations and administrations, the question is, you know, what's the chance that they set him up? Like, exactly, and what does he know, and what does he think he know? And
he always wanted Iran. This whole thing from the beginning was Iran, bad deal of Iran, we don't like Iran, and Netanyahu. and Israel and Palestine, oh yeah, and Iran. I mean, you know, this, he's been in on that from the beginning. I don't know what the heck is going on.
So, well, okay, Ernie, a question, okay? So forgetting about how we know all this or not, but let me just hypothetical. If you're president, God forbid, you're president, and all of a sudden God you wound up getting intelligence on September 10th or whatever of 2001 that this whole, you know, the whole terrorist thing is going to happen, the World Trade Center would be bombed, blah, blah, blah. You get wind of all of that. You find out exactly who the person is that orchestrated it, where they're at. They're hiding out in, you know, Afghanistan, whatever. Would you, okay, what would you do if you find that out and you want to stop it? I mean, do you sit back and say, well, I don't know, it could be fake news, so I'm just going to let it happen and we'll wait till afterwards? Or would you take some sort of action? I mean, that's the question. If Donald Trump is safe with information, whether lies or not, and that's the question. I mean, I don't trust anything these bastards say. But if you're sitting there and you've got people around you and they're showing you all of this, like with George Bush, there's weapons of mass destruction. Was George W. Bush there? No, he had to rely on people around him. And am I defending W? Hell no. That's the last thing I want to do. But at the same time, you're the president. You're trying to control this entire ship, and you're at the reliance of people around you.
Oh, you're killing me.
You probably don't even know what snakes are in the grass in your own bed. And so that's the question. I mean, I don't know.
Snakes in my own bed? It was in freaking Baghdad. I don't give a crap what's going on. He's gonna kill, you know, Americans in Iraq. Wow. Then there probably shouldn't be any Americans in Iraq. There, problem solved.
I want you to tell me what you would do.
I'm telling you that's what I would do. If they're in harm's way, get them out of my harm's way. And they're not there anymore. Now what? Let's build a bridge here or something.
Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
If so,
the warm part. This is, there's so much other stuff going on, you know, but this war thing trumps all that stuff. I can't imagine him coming out ahead on this one. I don't know. I mean, it's very clear. You know, you targeted him, you killed him. You know, I don't know what he thinks going to happen. What did you think was going to happen? I mean, we just had the only thing I can say, they had Iran, Russia, and China doing joint military exercises. Then he does this. And it at the very least, it's like, yeah, and I don't care. And Russia goes, robot, infantry, and hypersonic missiles. China goes, you know, we've had the silkworm since back forever, decades, and they'll take out all your ships. You know, are you kidding me? And then Iran's going, we got plenty of guys to strap on, do little PT boats or something. And they reverse engineer drones. So I'm going, and Iran is not Yemen. I mean, this is a developed country. Uh-huh. I don't know what the hell he's thinking. What he's going to have to share on this one. I don't even care. He can blah, 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 blah. He's done on this. And then here comes a Bumper Hornberger. You know, given the logic, and you know, libertarians are going to make a big, giant stride in this election cycle, and they'll do any and everything they can to try and stop it. But I'm just like, wow. I don't know the rationale on this. He was up against something. There's something, and the fact that he would take claim of responsibility of something. I don't know. This is
exactly the point is, Ernie. We don't know. I mean,
he bombed and killed a big leader in Iraq in Baghdad. I know that. Why? Why?
Okay, say that again. Say that again.
I know he's trying to start a war. Why? It's because our interest. Well, then get the hell out. This is exactly why you shouldn't even be there. The hell he's even said it.
I don't know. I don't think he's. No, I don't. I disagree. In his mind, he's not trying to start a war. That I will disagree with you on. I mean, do I know his brain completely? No. But at the same time, neither one of us knows all the facts either, which is why everyone's pondering what the hell's going on. But do I think as a person he wants a war? No. That's the point. There's something going on. I'm sure it has to do with the
all
election.
Here we come back.
DLive.LRN.FM.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Abracadabra! Now you're going to conjure up a good reason. See, this is the one thing. I'm like, I don't even care. I don't care what they're... I don't care. I got a really good reason because he was going to... harm Americans over there, and America in her interest, and that why are we there? And we're done. And then what happens? Yeah, well, Iraq Parliament says we want you gone. No. Oh, that democracy, sovereign state of their kind of, and no? No, oh, really? Is that how it's going to go? Then you're an empire? The fact that he even said, no, we're not leaving, we got an expensive air base there. I go, okay, well, here's your $2 billion, now get the F out. Now what? If that's all it is, they want payment for the. You go, yeah. Well, you broke a whole bunch of stuff. Yo, we'll call it even. How about that? Now I think we'll call it even. Pace. Then what? No, not going to leave. This makes us an occupying empire, and it's so. And there's no way that you're going to get away from that rhetoric over there. This is going to unify the Middle East. All of a sudden, Iraq and Iran are going to become best buddies with the military force and support of China and Russia. What the F are we thinking? This is not going to end well. Guarantee it. And the neocons and the war hawks and the they, them, those couldn't be happier. They're just like, woo, this is all good. Good, good. And now the ego of Trump, he's never going to be, and we're just out of here. You know what? We're done. We're just, no. Now, who had the strength to do that? It was in Lebanon, and it was Ronald Reagan. After they bombed the Marine barracks and a few hundred guys died in Beirut, he goes, you know what? There is no logic and reason here. It's a zealot that they kind of did, and we're gone. And we just left. Best thing ever happened. Of course, then Israel doing all their stupid crap, and he just wanted us to
ignore. Yeah, but Ernie, don't forget, this is the issue, is sending mixed messages. That's the one problem with so-called democracies, representative republics, versus dictatorships, in a sense. It's because with dictatorships, with all their problems, at least if you have a good one, or at least if there's such a good thing, you have stability for some time. Yeah, with when we start changing administrations, you run into the same problem I'm having right now with my 2.5-year-old, not to bring all that up, but she starts crying a lot and she wants something. Sometimes my wife will buckle in before I do, and then you don't want to be giving mixed messages of leniency or strictness at the same time. And of course, we've been doing that. And speaking of Ronald Reagan, yes, I see what Reagan did, but don't forget he also did the Iran-Contra. He was giving arms, right? We're sitting there helping the Iranians. So even Ronald Reagan was supporting the Iranians' backhand deals, saying, hey, look, if you want, you can be our, we'll feed you some stuff and be our good boy and buy them with the deep state. And then you've got Barack Obama doing the same thing, right? The whole Iran money deal, which of course inflamed Fox News watcher and Donald Trump, essentially, at least supposedly. So you've got two instances alone that we know of where America is trying to buy out, placate, tame the Iranian beast with money and whatever other backhand deals. And so Donald Trump's not doing that. So he's bombing them, which the presidents wouldn't do. So the question is that considered strength? Or is it considered, that not so? Which, of course, I know how you see it. But, we don't know what kind of capitulation and sellouts have been going on this entire time. And Donald Trump, I think, maybe... sees, I mean, look, there's a lot of hypotheticals, and I don't know, Ernie, but But I mean, this is all about the election, right? I mean, Donald Trump has never.
Why is it always about the election? See, this is my point.
If I know,
I'm like, there's some. I don't know. If he thinks that this is going to get him what?
No. I don't think it's Ernie. No, wait. Let me rephrase that. It's not that my Republican Fox, the Fox News viewers all want war now. I got to give them war. They think they're starving for war. No, if I want war, I just turn on CNN and Fox News and watch them fight it out. I don't need a real war. No one really wants a war. The people who voted for Trump were those that wanted him to pull troops out. And every time he pulled troops out of Syria or so what, then, of course, the libs in the deep state said he was weak and he was just destroying the 50 years of blah, blah, blah. So no, he's not trying to do that. My point is that he wants to be reelected. If no other reason, he gets to win on his terms, and they can't keep trying to undermine his win with the narcissist personality that he has, and he wants his name up there. He wants, and with the impeachment, that whether it goes on the books or not is another story. But the thing is, he wants to win on his terms, dominate it, and say, "Yeah, I did it. Two term." With his ego, he has to do it, and it's all about winning that, and he's got everything to win at his back. For him to screw it up now, there's no way he's purposely allowing himself to screw it up and get into a war. So the question is, what was presented to him, in what way?
Doesn't matter.
So important to do this now.
They're going
to
manufacture. It's going to be whatever the hell he wants to show you. It's going to be the most rosy. It's going to be Colin Powell with little vials shaking at the UN. It's going to be more bullshit. I just know it.
Probably is. It probably is. You know, I'm not. Look, I know that the evilness of these deep staters, in order to keep paying off the system and the military-industrial complex, warned about Eisenhower how long ago? I get it. I'm just saying, if you're in the command chair and you're being presented with X information, I mean, that's the question. I mean, it's different when you're probably in that position. That's all I'm saying. I mean, it's easy to be the absolutist about it. And
it's different if you have a different goal. If your goal is, why are we being attacked all over? Because we're over there. Okay, let's not be over there anymore. And he's definitely from Iron Man. The first Iron Man goes, America and her interest. And I'm going, is our interest overseas?
Ernie, let me just be honest. One of the biggest concerns one of the only fears that I've had is that the deep state, Republican, Democrat, both of them, they're all the same, is that they're so evil and so determined to get this guy out. We've been watching it for 4 years play out. 4 years, that includes the primary, to stop someone who's not under their puppet strings, that it wouldn't, and we know about false flags, is what would it take? It's not much to set off a bomb in some mall or to link something to some country, whoever the next boogeyman would be, before the election, to force Donald Trump into something and a false flag of an epic proportions. And, you know, heck, we still debate the night with 9/11, for God's sake, to that level. So the question is, if they hate Donald Trump more than they ever did George W. Bush or Clinton or anybody else, so that, you know, that to me is the concern. And I'm sure Trump knows this. Is some last minute way to tank the economy or which is going to happen anyway. But I mean, to tank it before the election and or to suck him into a war beforehand. And if Donald Trump knows this, and if he sees something where they're setting him up and where the Iranians are being, maybe, who knows, maybe they're in bed with the deep state, orchestrating a way to have some kind of revolt or bombing or something.
They wanted a Benghazi.
That was what he tried to stop. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
They were screaming about a Benghazi. We got another Benghazi. And he manipulated him, or he allowed himself to be manipulated, or he, created the manipulation. I don't care. See, it doesn't matter what the scenario is. It doesn't matter. I'm going, yeah, it's an escalation of what? More war in the Middle East and Iraq and Baghdad killing Iranian leader. What? How could that possibly go well? I don't care what the reason is.
I
don't care. You know, so when we go into the break, I have up the Tucker Carlson thing here.
Yeah,
and it's only a few minutes. Well, we're going at the end of the show here. Well, maybe we'll hold it for the first segment of the next hour. We'll do that. because it's only a few minutes and it's Tucker, you know, ranting and raving, whatever. I don't know. I haven't watched it yet. But, and I don't care. It's only a few minutes, so we'll get it
You'll like it. Despite you not caring, you'll like it.
Yeah, whatever. And, you know, I'm sure he's going to say some of the same crap. Why are we even there? I mean, what, you know, pace, and we're gone. And what, and not, and when you have all this high and mighty, blah, 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 the Iraqi parliament wants us out. Nah, we don't want to go. What? You didn't anticipate that scenario? Or did you want them just to know that they're not really in charge? I mean, what was the reasoning for that? Why would you even say that? Why would you put yourself in that position? This is stupid. It's just stupid on so many levels of stupid. And well, I don't...
But, you know, by the way, tell me whenever the break's coming up. But there's another part to it. And that is, remember,
it's
Donald
coming up.
Trump. All right, here. So Donald Trump likes to do the big ask, right? Which you know, with the negotiation, the art of the deal, is you go big or go home, essentially. And he's probably trying to make a statement that he's not screwing around with it. And he also, Donald Trump, I'm sure, has a lot more leverage in the fact that what he knows more than the rest of us. So he probably has leverage in ways that we don't know, and he's utilizing it at this point. That's what I mean.
Leverage of what? Blah, 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 blah.
Blah,
he
blah,
took
blah,
a
blah,
drone
blah, blah.
And he Cuisinarted, you know, the head military guy of Iran, supposedly invited to Baghdad to negotiate with blah, blah, blah. Boom, and you're dead. There's our negotiation. I mean, you know, this is the kind of crap you get on Games of Thrones. You know, it's like the wedding murder or something, you know? I'm going, holy crap. It's, yep, Game of Thrones, just watch it again. Same, 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 same. We'll be right back.
We have some good news.
Yeah, I ain't got no good news. This is bullshit. This is bullshit. Okay, I want to watch this before we do it in the
How's
next
your blood
segment.
Pressure, man? I was worried about
it. That's fine. I'm just like, you know what? It's Tuesday. I mean, you know, it's, you know, this is, it's kind of crap that happens all the time. And I'm like, it's a big giant shock. You know, I'm just like, I'm just so shocked that I'm not shocked at this crap. You know, this is, yeah, that's the only shocking thing is they keep doing it. All right, now I'm going to go ahead and play this in. Can you see the, well, here.
Just do it.
All right. Here we go. Oh, crap. I got to plug in the damn. I need to get another. Matter of fact, I got another cable. It's just this one works better. Okay. And how long is it? It is. Come on. No, it's just, it's, I know you got it up, but it's just that it's.
The heck? It's 3 minutes, 40 seconds.
Yeah, there it is. Okay.
You may have seen American troops on the move, leaving their families on their way to the Middle East. Now, just a month ago, not one in 100 Americans was thinking about Iran. Now, suddenly, we are on the brink of war. In Washington, that is considered an upgrade, indeed a massive improvement. It's harder to get rich and powerful in Washington during peacetime, so our leaders have a built-in bias for war. And so they descended on television studios over the weekend to describe in detail the kind of violence they're prepared to wreak on a country very few of them know anything about. Here, for example, is Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina.
If the Iranians hit American targets and American interests and American allies, we will respond militarily. If they hit us again, then I would not want to be working in an Iranian oil field, because I think the president is determined to bring this regime to its knees if they continue to be provocative.
Yeah. Provocative?
Meanwhile, the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, assured reporters that the U.S. seeks, quote, de-escalation with Iran, and then just moments later suggested the U.S. might bomb dozens of sites inside Iran itself.
President Trump is saying that there are 52 sites that the U.S. would target if Iran retaliates. How is that consistent with what you say is your message of de-escalation?
Entirely consistent.
Threatening to bomb mainland Iran?
The Iranian leadership needs to understand that attacking Americans is not cost-free. To take a terrorist off the battlefield does not increase the risk of terror. The risk of terror is increased by appeasement.
The risk of terror is increased by appeasement. It's a good line, and it may be true, probably is true. Of course, the risk of terror is also increased by bombing other people's countries. That is also indisputably true. It's hard to remember now, but as recently as last week, most people didn't consider Iran an imminent threat. Iranian saboteurs were not committing acts of terror in our cities. Oh, but our leaders tell us they were about to any second, and that's why we struck first. What's so striking is how many people appear to accept this uncritically. Just the other day, you remember, our intel agencies were considered politically tainted and suspect. Certainly on this show they are, were, and will be for quite some time. Keep in mind, these are the people who invented excuses to spy on the Trump campaign purely because they didn't like Donald Trump's foreign policy views. And they're the ones who pretended he was a Russian agent in order to keep him from governing. Remember that? Russiagate? Our friends in the intel community did that. And by the way, these are the same people who lied about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction way back in 2002, and by doing that, got us into an utterly pointless war that dramatically weakened our country. The people pushing conflict with Iran are the same people who did that. It seems like about 20 minutes ago, we were denouncing these very people as the deep state and pledging never to trust them again without verification. But now, for some reason, we do seem to trust them implicitly and completely. In fact, we believe whatever they tell us, no matter how outlandish. Iran did 9/11, they're telling us. Oh, okay, didn't know that. 15 of the 19 hijackers were from Sunni Saudi Arabia. None were from Shiite Iran. But if you say so, Mr. Unnamed CIA official, I'm happy to send my kid to the Middle East a week after Christmas on the basis of your anonymous, unverified leak to the New York Times. You've earned my trust through years of lying to me. That appears to be our position now. Now, maybe all this will turn out fine in the end. We're certainly praying for it. We love this country. But in the meantime, pardon the skepticism.
Yeah, pardon a little skepticism, a little bit. A little bit.
So what'd you think?
I don't believe him.
You don't believe Tucker?
No. I mean, you know, Tucker's just saying, I don't know, same thing. You know, I don't believe him. And, you know, whatever the reason, we shouldn't be there anyway. And long as Lindsey Graham says it and says, it must be true then. I don't even know how to rationalize this in any way. I don't. There's something else going on. There's some
threat.
Well,
of course, Ernie. Since when have you? I mean, of all people, with Mr. 3-week rule, and now you're like, it doesn't matter. Well, you know, sometimes I don't know. Maybe the.
It's not peace. It's not prosperity. It's not, you know, America first. I can guarantee that. You know, don't tell me that, you know, a couple hundred, couple thousand, tens of thousands of Americans over somewhere else that shouldn't be there to begin with is justification for us killing millions of people. I'm going, no, that's, you know, millions. How many people have died in the last decade or decade and a half or whatever, all this crap? How long have we been in Afghanistan? How long, you know, and it's not even, oh, we've only lost a few thousand, 5,000 of our, yeah. What, other people don't matter? You know, families, their livelihoods, that got, you know, Libya, you know, Yemen, Iraq, Syria. You know, it's like Gates' list that he had, you know, of all these countries. They're just going through their list. And on the list, top of the list, or bottom of the list, definitely getting to the list, is Iran. It always has been. And I'm going, all right, why? Well, it's oil. It comes down to they have, like, money. And hell, India, give them $200 million in gold to be able to buy it at a discount. You know, so, and then here comes Russia and China. They know. You know, I know Russia and China is going, yeah, we don't have to confront America. All we have to do is support Iran. We'll come over here and be Iran's buddy, do some joint military drills and just sit there. Don't have to do a damn thing. Watch what happens. Well, this is what happens. You know, and Iran, you know, and Russia and China aren't even going to have to do anything. They'll just proxy war, supply and give. And here's some, you know, what do they call them? Silkworms. The Silkworm missile is a just above the waves, supersonic, kick-ass flying cruise missile torpedo, take out ships one after another. Boom, 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 boom. It's so stupid. You know, we're not, and hypersonic missiles they got. All right, let me start the next hour on the video. Boom. Boom. All right, here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
But relatively concerned. Relatively concerned, a little bit. All right, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to go ahead and play. Dr. Frank and I watched Tucker Carlson here. It's only 3.5 minutes, so we'll just give this a listen. You ready, Frank?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I'll listen carefully. Here we go. Wait. Push the right button here. Do that.
This is the same video. The same video I sent.
Yeah, the same video. Well, no.
Right, go ahead.
Yeah, the Tucker thing. Here we go.
But first, if you were at an airport over the weekend, you may have seen American troops on the move, leaving their families on their way to the Middle East. Now, just a month ago, not one in 100 Americans was thinking about Iran. Now, suddenly, we are on the brink of war. In Washington, that is considered an upgrade, indeed a massive improvement. It's harder to get rich and powerful in Washington during peacetime, so our leaders have a built-in bias for war. And so they descended on television studios over the weekend to describe in detail the kind of violence they're prepared to wreak on a country very few of them know anything about. Here, for example, is Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina.
If the Iranians hit American targets and American interests and American allies, we will respond militarily. If they hit us again, then I would not want to be working in an Iranian oil field, because I think the president is determined to bring this regime to its knees if they continue to be provocative.
Meanwhile, the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, assured reporters that the U.S. seeks, quote, de-escalation with Iran, and then just moments later suggested the U.S. might bomb dozens of sites inside Iran itself.
President Trump is saying that there are 52 sites that the U.S. would target if Iran retaliates. How is that consistent with what you say is your message of de-escalation?
Entirely consistent.
Threatening to bomb mainland Iran?
The Iranian leadership needs to understand that attacking Americans is not cost-free. To take a terrorist off the battlefield does not increase the risk of terror. The risk of terror is increased by appeasement.
The risk of terror is increased by appeasement. It's a good line, and it may be true. Probably is true. Of course, the risk of terror is also increased by bombing other people's countries. That is also indisputably true. It's hard to remember now, but as recently as last week, most people didn't consider Iran an imminent threat. Iranian saboteurs were not committing acts of terror in our cities. Oh, but our leaders tell us they were about to any second, and that's why we struck first. What's so striking is how many people appear to accept this uncritically. Just the other day, you remember, our intel agencies were considered politically tainted and suspect. Certainly on this show they are. Were and will be for quite some time. Keep in mind, these are the people who invented excuses to spy on the Trump campaign purely because they didn't like Donald Trump's foreign policy views. And they're the ones who pretended he was a Russian agent in order to keep him from governing. Remember that? Russiagate? Our friends in the intel community did that. And by the way, these are the same people who lied about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction way back in 2002, and by doing that, got us into an utterly pointless war that dramatically weakened our country. The people pushing conflict with Iran are the same people who did that.
Yep.
It seems like about 20 minutes ago we were denouncing these very people as the deep state and pledging never to trust them again without verification. But now, for some reason, we do seem to trust them implicitly and completely. In fact, we believe whatever they tell us, no matter how outlandish. Iran did 9/11, they're telling us. Oh, okay. Didn't know that. 15 of the 19 hijackers were from Sunni Saudi Arabia. None were from Shiite Iran. But if you say so, Mr. Unnamed CIA official, I'm happy to send my kid to the Middle East a week after Christmas on the basis of your anonymous and unverified leak to the New York Times. You've earned my trust through years of lying to me. That appears to be our position now. Now, maybe all of this will turn out fine in the end. We're certainly praying for it. We love this country. But in the meantime, pardon the skepticism.
Yeah, pardon the skepticism. Just a little bit.
And by the way, before we get into the whole thing, you know, I just want to be really clear, Ernie. I'm not in favor of this. I'm not trying to just, you know, just drinking the Trump Kool-Aid. Everything's all cool because I'm the one that sent you that damn video, for God's sake, because I recognize that's the problem. I completely agree with everything he said. With that pointed out, that is why I'm skeptical that this is simply Donald Trump being Mr. Warmonger, because he's not. I don't believe in any way he is. He knows, if nothing else, it's gonna derail his win in 2020, if possible. So, I mean, there's so many components. I don't take it face value. What I do is that the deep state is behind this, and question again is, what does Trump know, and what is he being presented with to be forced in such a position? I mean, keep in mind, the reason that people like me like Donald Trump and many anti-establishment people is because he's not controlled, at least monetarily, by the deep state. I mean, for anyone to get that far into power, like John McCain, who, if you remember during his campaign, came back from nothing. Remember his whole campaign imploded, and he still came back from the power of the deep state funding him, not to mention the control he had here in Arizona, the control of this entire party. God knows, I know firsthand, you know, confronting him. So the point is, that's what the deep state power is. Trump is not beholden to them, which is the whole reason they've been fighting.
No, he's beholden to his ego, and they are playing on it. It's going to be, if he is led to believe that his legacy, or he'll be known as the president that didn't la la la, especially after he criticized Obama heavily for not taking these guys out. And this was just, he was just looking for a chance, a reason to, and he did, because he criticized Obama for not doing it. And he goes, okay, I did. They go, here's your chance, President Trump, and if you don't do it, you'll forever be known as the guy that had the chance to do it, and you didn't do it, and we were ready to do it, and all you got to do is push the button here and do it. And he goes, okay, push that some bitch button. Boom! And he's dead. Woohoo! You know, I'm going, was it that easy? Is it, you know, it's like, why do you think they got all of your Amazon rentals and all the surfing you do and analyzing of all his tweets and everything? They got a psychological profile of say this, do this, tweak that, turn that, boom, you get him to do it, what you want. He's a puppet. And I'm going, this is, and a lot of us are. You know, it's just, if you know the right buttons and the right psyop to do, you can get pretty much anybody to do anything. Well, you think they aren't putting every freaking effort? Oh, and by the way, you might want to have them drink this here little potion or something. I mean, you know, I just, whatever the hell it is, I don't effing care. If it, whatever the reason is, that you bring them back. Everybody just come back. We're done. Because we are not going to be able to afford this anyway. And when this breaks open, what? We got another $20 trillion just throw at the problem? You know,
Ernie,
that we created?
Just in time for the economy to collapse. That is exactly where wars usually come, in the face of an economic destruction. So, I mean, there's that whole component, which I would love to, I'm sure we'll talk about with Dr. Ron Paul. But look, I don't want to be, again, it's not that I'm trying to justify Donald Trump with some of my comments. It's just I'm trying to explain some of the factors that go in my brain trying to figure some of this out. And I don't have all the info, but let me just throw a couple concepts up to you. One is, you talked about not being held liable in the future. Well, remember how much flack Bill Clinton got for not taking out Osama bin Laden when he supposedly had a chance to, right? And Donald Trump was Democrat. He voted more Democrat, I think, back in the day. And one of the things that I hope Don has some Valium there for you today. So one of the things that keep in mind, this is not to justify anything, Ernie, so just bite your lip for a minute. You have to do a Bill Clinton. The thing is, he built, remember, this guy comes from New York. He literally built many of the buildings in New York. My father builds buildings, and I know the pride that he has building buildings. There's something special when people are builders that way. And the fact he actually built the buildings in Manhattan. And I know it's hard for people in Arizona and the rest of the country, but I know being from New York and of course from Philly, is that there's definitely a much more personal viewpoint of what happened on 9/11. And so I think some of the reasons that he switched to the Republican Party was that the Democrats, he felt, were the ones that helped allow Osama bin Laden to do what he did to his city. Okay, and that was some of the weakness, I think, he thought with Democrats, and he's trying to reverse that, or at least.
And what is coming out that's being very clear is that he doesn't believe that us just being over there and bothering people is the reason.
I agree. I mean, just hold
on. Pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Ooh, tax on that. There is a opportunity for this election cycle because of this for the libertarians. And Bumper get me, or I go pull from all his articles and create by category or whatever, a data disc, a DVD I pass out, something I'm doing, my whatever. This is going to be another opportunity for us to make big giant strides in what the real issues are. And for foreign policy, $20 trillion, I can tell you that. I mean, it's just so mind-boggling. What we did, I remember it was about 05, 06, when I was producing for Charles, and I wanted to come up with a chart. And the chart, now we're back. Dang it. Okay, this is the chart that I wanted to come up with. We're back. we looked at the cost of the war. And at the time, it was, I think it was like $3 trillion, some ridiculous amount. And it's way more now. But it was just with the cost of the war, all the overrides and expenditures that they did and appropriations for and yada, 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 plus all of the benefits to the GIs for being damaged. You know, you have their disabilities and their pensions and their, your compensation for I lost an arm. I mean, whatever, right? All of this stuff came to trillions of dollars. So I go, all right, well, how much oil, how many barrels do we get from there and how much and kind of, it's about the oil. So I divided that into, how many barrels and this cost goes in. It meant that we were paying, it was something ridiculous, $150, $175 a barrel. And I'm going, well, hell, that's not even worth it. I go, to have the lifestyle to which we have become accustomed, we need to go over there so we can get that cheap oil. Well, it's not cheap. It's just BS. It's not we get the money. It's not we get the savings. We have to pay for this. With interest on our grandchildren. It's just stupid by any measurement. And I'm going, stop. Why? What, we can't defend ourselves here? Well, our interest, America and her interest. I thought her interest was freedom. I thought her interest was us. I thought the interest was, what the hell is going on? So this whole thing, I don't care what your reason is. That you can't come up with enough reason for me to justify go killing other people in other countries.
I want to be really clear about something, okay? Before you keep trying to put me into a corner here with crap, okay? There's a difference between justifying and explaining or trying to understand. Okay, I'm trying to understand where his mind is and what's going on. It's not the same thing as justifying. It's going to be really clear to the audience and to you that there's a definite difference. I don't agree in any way of him doing
it. And my point is there is no justification.
Why maybe he's doing it. That's my point. Because sometimes they're not always the same.
No, I understand. Right? But I'm going, it doesn't matter what his reasons are.
And when
it doesn't justify
the election. You're saying nothing else matters than freedom. And I get that. But, you know, look, I know you're not going to like the answer, but I kept saying this. Somehow this is linked to the election. We have the economy that's on the brink, right? I'm sure Dr. Paul will be able to chat about all that as well. And if everyone knows it's on the brink, heck, even the Mad Money guy just yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, it went kind of more national news. He was talking about everyone's buying gold now. I mean, the Mad Money guy is talking about gold, gold, gold. I mean, what the heck? Yeah. So, I mean, he's talking about how the American voter and investor is starting to get skittish with the increase in gold going up. And people, even though we had this great supposed Christmas season, and yet people are still skittish about the economy. And of course, people who are watching this, like this audience, knows that where our days are numbered. And so now we have the petrodollar and oil, right? So we've got an oil issue. Other countries are maybe conspiring, maybe to lock out America with a petrodollar. I don't know. And that's beyond. I'm not prepared enough to have that conversation. I know about the petrodollar, and I know that is what the only thing left keeping this economy afloat. And we're going into an election where the economy is about to self-destruct, hopefully, I mean, from Trump's point of view, afterwards, which is why he's authorized QE infinity with using that little, whatever that little trick that we talked about last time with Tim Pichot, right? So he found a way to get around calling it QE. So we're inflating this economy to keep this thing going until the next election, which I know you love that phrase. And then all of a sudden we're bombing Iran over this supposedly oil thing. And he's threatening to knock out their oil, their oil fields. So, I mean, you know, then we've got the economy, we've got oil fields. I mean, this is somehow all linked, and he's getting pressured and pushed in with wolves in the hen house like Lindsey Graham, whether he's aware of that or not. And that's what I'm trying. And he probably does. And I know he has sympathies beyond most Americans coming from New York. I'm just telling you. I know you don't like that component, but it is a fact. It's part of this, whether you like it or not. I know you probably weren't emotional.
What the hell does coming from New York have to do with Iran?
I'm saying that if there's a link, whether fictitious or not, I'm just saying if he's presented with what he thinks, because according to what Pompeo and all I was saying is that this was not retaliatory. It was to prevent something in the future, that they had really strong intelligence that there was going to be some kind of, the impression I get is some kind of attack on us, whether it's a 9/11 level attack, I don't know. That seems
I
to be
don't,
what
that's
flying.
A bad policy.
Saying we're talking about a guy that is not beholden to the deep state because he has the money to outmaneuver them. He doesn't need them, which is why they've been threatening him.
This is pre-crime crap. I mean, if they tied this, I don't care.
I know you don't care. I'm just trying to explain.
Here's another thing. And amongst this whole thing right now, you know, they kind of dropped the Friday, we're going to war, little news you don't see kind of crap. Bernanke hints at negative rates, purchases of private securities to fight the next recession. Nearly a decade after his now laughably idiotic prediction that the Fed could hike rates in 15 minutes if we have to, which of course it could, and it would then promptly crash markets as late as 2018, showed, which is also why the Fed will never be able to normalize monetary policy ever again. Former Fed chairman, who together with Alan Greenspan will be responsible for blowing the three biggest asset bubbles in history, of which the current one may well be the last one, as it will mark the end of central banking as we know it. Ben Bernanke delivered what he called a relatively upbeat assessment of the U.S. central bank's ability to fight the next recession. And he goes on about blah, 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 purchases of private securities. What? The Fed, they're just going to buy everything, and that's what the TARP thing was. It was a one-for-one of toxic assets that just, you know, three, four. I had Suzanne Trimbeth on last week. She'll come on again Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. And she has a new book coming out, you know, Naked Short Selling and all this and that. And she's an economist here in Arizona, Southeastern Community College area there. And she's taught at the big ones and whatever. And she's, you know, family. Well, she's writing a new book's coming out here this next month, I think. January 10th. They got a book signing thing in Tempe or something, I think. So this is why she's coming on to talk and promote. That's why we had her come back. And her whole thing is, yep, here we go. You know, this gazillions of dollars, and the Fed had on their balance sheet $3-4 trillion of the last toxic crap that they bought that's right. still there. They just show it as an asset class. It's bonds. It's a derivative of bonds on the mortgage back. There is nothing there. It's nothing. It's just right. they're going to have to write it off. One of these. I kept asking everybody, I go, where is that? What is it? What happened to it? What do you mean what happened to it? It's there. They just put it as an asset. But there's nothing there. Yeah. Well, then what are they going to do? I don't know. And they're going to do it again. And they're going to be buying purchases of private securities. Which ones? The ones that nobody wants to buy. That's which ones. And who has them? The pensions. This is all about the pensions. They're going to be buying these private securities to prop up the pensions. This is what I'm saying. They always yank something out of their butt. And what happens? We just go into more trillions on the Fed balance sheet until the dollar, the tsunami that comes will wipe all of these abilities to manipulate it away. It is going to be the biggest, giantest sucking sound you ever saw or heard. And I'm telling you, it's baked in the cake. And what do? Distract with war. So yep. if Trump did this, it was an economic reason. To waste more money? What the hell? What the hell? This is, you're right, it's all tied. And it's this Bernanke yep. thing right here. But you look up there it is. You know,
this is the thing. If Donald Trump, if we just go with the assumption, Donald Trump wins, right? And he has to have his name on the narcissist, right? And I'm being honest about this. So he wants to go down in history and win this, and his first 4 years have been tainted this entire time, right? I mean, at least the way he might perceive it. He's not being accepted as a legitimate president, blah, blah, blah. So he wants to, that is his mission, okay? Whether I know it sickens you about, you know, about the next election, whatever, that's his goal. So he knows that peace and prosperity, it's like butter and sugar. You know, no matter what your food is, you put butter and sugar, maybe Tabasco sauce in there, it always dresses it up to some degree, right? So it's like, to him, peace and prosperity are the two main ingredients. He's been running on it. It hasn't been really keep America great. I mean, that's his tagline, but he really has been talking peace and prosperity. So those are the two. And the thing is, if both of them are under threat, okay, and they're tied. So the thing is, which one do you defend if both of them are under attack? It's not to mention maybe being propagated by your enemies, including you know, in the deep state themselves or the media. So it's like, if you have to choose between the two, and the prosperity, if that blows up right before the election, then he loses. So if you have to choose, maybe he's built up enough goodwill with his base that they might be able to ride through an attack in January. So by the time the election really starts to hit home, maybe the Iran thing dies down. Maybe the big ask and the big threat quells them somehow, or something, maybe something else. He knows that he might be able to threaten them so over the top that it does put them in their place, at least temporarily enough to keep this thing going, keep the oil fields going, keep the dollar going, and slide into that election. That's kind of what he might be thinking. And again, I don't know, this is speculation, but you know, all these pieces are all working at the same time, and Trump is not an idiot. That's the first thing. Okay, so, and he's a poker player, so I don't know all the things he knows behind the scenes with this, but I know they're tied somehow, so I don't know. I mean, definitely a great question for Dr. Paul tomorrow. We'd love to hear his response.
I'm just going to let him go. You know, he's going to, he knows. I'm whatever. Ron, tell us what we need to know, and I'll go to the bathroom. Just let him talk. You know, I'm glad that I don't know if I can get ready fast enough. You know, Donna's already been scoping out storage containers, you know, different stackable cases that we can put everything, kind of, you know, getting ready to, the sons are moving their trailers or ordering the storage containers or finishing up on this prod. Oh, yeah, we got a bunch of DVDs and doing stuff, and kind of I'm going to be down probably Wednesday or Thursday, tomorrow, probably Thursday. I'm going down town, the Capitol, and the offices and the parking lots, and I'm going to be distributing thousands of the DVDs of, you know, In Their Face. See, the thing is, everybody just wants to do the 100 and goes to the legislators. Screw them. I don't care. I want everybody around them to know. You know, then maybe they'll watch it or don't. I don't care. You know, it's just, I know it is out there. Here's the information, because they're coming after the First and the Second Amendment. They're going, you're not allowed to bitch. We need to have, you know, digital book burnings. We need to make sure this information doesn't get out. You know, oh, yeah, and we're going to take your guns because you're not allowed to bitch about it. And I'm going, wow. Oh, and we're going into war. This is historical stuff. This is how this happens. I've been around long enough to see this is it. This is how they, them, those do it. Right now, here we go. And you're not allowed to even bitch about it. Get Dixie checked. You know? All right, here we go.
Your account, so you can receive our tweets at twitter.lrn.fm. That's twitter.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
All right. Land of confusion. All right, let me tell you how you can, the bad stuff starts happening. It'd be bad. You know, here comes the bad stuff. All right, let me get on camera here. I want to make sure, you know, I get to emphasize and rant. All right, now let's see. I push that button. All right, here we go. This is what happens. They want to have control. It's about control of the bank, control of the money, control of you, control, 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 control. And mandates and exemptions. You know, I always go, what is it I have to do, and what am I prevented from doing, and what's your conflict resolution? That's all I want to know. You want me to go somewhere? I need to know those three things. What do I have to do? You have to take shots from the notions and potions from the crown and in your children. Oh, okay. What am I prevented from doing? And you're not allowed to have a gun. I'm going to take your guns away. We got the First and the Second going on here. You're not allowed to talk about, you know, the mandates of the vaccines. We're just going to censor everything. You're not allowed to talk about it. Oh, I'm bitching about it. You're not allowed to defend yourself and your rights. And so, okay, that always works well. Oh, and you top on top of that, you know, to give the justification, you can't got to be America, you know, war. And it's all, they shut down debate. You're not allowed, you're anti-America, anti-troop, anti-something, war. And I'm going, okay. This is the beginning of bad stuff. Every single time. I'm old enough to have been around. I see the cycle, and it's going to be the shutdown of debate, and you're not allowed to bitch about it. I went through this in the 90s with the militia stuff. You went through it after 9/11 with you're not allowed to criticize, and then, you know, and the whole time we were always bitching about the debt. Because here in Arizona in 1994, we filed an initiative that said if the United, because the debt at the time was like $4 trillion, if the debt ever exceeds, I think it was double, 8 or 10, say $10 trillion, if the federal debt exceeds $10 trillion, Arizona secedes from the union. They freaked out that we even said that. And I go, oh, that'll never happen. We'd never. And I go, then what do you care? It'll never happen. Then what are you worried about? Of course they knew it was going to happen. Another one, we had a constitutional, what was it, a balanced budget amendment thing. They didn't want that either. And they, the ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is a Koch thing, they came to the president of the Senate, John Green, here, and when it passed in committees and it went to him to go to a vote of the whole Senate, he pocket vetoed it. You're not allowed to have a, what was it? Oh, yeah, it was a call for a constitutional convention. That's what it was. It was a call for a constitutional convention to, we said, we're going to repeal all calls for a constitutional convention and expunge the record of ever, ever even called for one, because there were three reasons. One was ERA, Equal Rights Amendment, that started the call for a convention late 70s, 80, just to shut people up. Oh, here, we'll you know, do a convention whenever the other states do that. The other one was a balanced budget thing, and the other one was, what was the other reason? Abortion, okay? So those three reasons, if they could get called for a constitutional convention, they would do it. Well, this one we're saying, we don't want any calls for a constitutional convention and strike the record they ever did. Florida had already done it. Nevada did it and said, and expunged a record that we ever even called. And they go, you can't do that. And Nevada went, do what? I was there when this happened. And when we did this bill, it went through. It got introduced by someone that had Mormon supporters in the John Birch Society. And we got to stop this call for them to change the Constitution. They introduced it. It was Russell Pierce's nephew, Lester Pierce. Russell Pierce became president of the Senate and was recalled. Bunch of crap that he did. So the only one ever happened in Arizona to even be on the ballot for a recall and he lost. And of course, they, you know, blamed the libertarians. But the point is, because it was just stupid stuff he was doing, Trump stuff. So then I'm going, all right, here we go. What are we going to do? It was Alec. American Legislative Exchange Council went to President of the Senate and said, that bill does not see the light of day. And you had senators going down doing a discharge petition to look at, and you know, sign it to get it to come out to be voted on. And they had it explained to them. And they said, nope, you're not allowed to. And this is the Koch thing. So then what happens? They just become a big lobbying firm. They have 1,000 legislation bills that are put out, and 20% of them get passed in the law. And what are they putting out there? All kinds of this crap. And pharma. Big pharma. Alec is behind all of these mandates for vaccinations and eliminations of exemptions. So these guys, they're all the same. They just have overlapping board of directors from everything everywhere. And pharmaceuticals are what? Petroleum. And this is why the Rock of it goes, watch Corbett videos, man. I mean, this is so bad. And it's not going to go well, but it doesn't matter. Because in the end, they're going to get all their money. They're going to get what they want. And they're going to get a freaking war. And it's all about they, them, those ruling and running who gets to be in charge of the brass ring. And I don't care. What do I have to do? What am I prevented from doing? What's your conflict resolution? Conflict resolution is a gun. You get arrested, you're dead. That's what their conflict resolution is. And what you have to do is you got to get the shot, and you can't defend yourself with a gun. These are signs of bad things. And what did Trump just do? Hey, man, we're going to have us a war. Now, they go, now, anything that Iran does after we kill their, you know, head military guy, that'll be bad. We're going to go kick your ass if you retaliate. What? Hell, of course they're going to retaliate. And that's what they want.
Ernie, doesn't it get you in any way curious? It's sort of like you've got some person, you say, you can do whatever you want, just don't push this red button. It's like Adam and Eve. You can do whatever you want. Here's the Garden of Eden. Just don't eat that apple. And Eve eats the apple. So, like, I mean, if everyone, I mean, Donald Trump's not an idiot.
Yeah, right after you punched him in the face.
He's trying to be baited into a war. This entire time, we've watched him do it. We've watched him skate out of it most times. I mean, the only thing he really did was that Moab bomb in the beginning, which I think was more just telling the world, yeah, I might be a reality show star, but, you know, but I'm for real, whatever. But the thing is why would he now, when he's got everything at his back, it's his election to effing lose at this point, why would he then push the button? When he's not beholden to the deep state like other politicians have or mired.
Care.
So the question is, what do you keep saying you don't care? But that's why we're having this conversation, because obviously we do care. The point is, what did he, what pushed, forced his finger to push it? That to me is a fascinating question. I should say fascinating, it's scary as hell, because I certainly don't want this at all. But there's clearly, maybe look, perhaps we need 4 weeks, not a 3 week rule for something like this. I don't know. But that to me, I think, I will still keep an open mind, at least a certain degree, to figure out what forced his hand on that, or at least why does he think that.
And that's what I don't care about. I don't care what forced his hand. But, you know, I it doesn't matter. He'd been next, so freaking next. All the other stuff, blah, 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 don't care. Yeah, but Ernie, it was a really good reason that I had to, because I
didn't say justification. I'm talking about explanation again. I mean, God knows, if you talk about Ron Paul and with the Middle East, you might want to repost. I'm sure a lot of you listening already know. Remember that one video he came out with in 2012, I think? It was the history of the Middle East, and it was a fantastic video put out by the Ron Paul people. I forget the name of it. Anyway, it was, I think it's why servicemen, I think, support Ron Paul. It was a great video about how service people supported him. And the first half of the video was a deep dive for like 10 minutes talking about the Middle East, starting all the way back to the first Shah and how we screwed him over with England back in 1940 or whatever. And it was a great video talking about why in the house. So they are important, and you can't say it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean it justifies things, but you start to understand what leads to what, and you can't outmaneuver it, or at least defend our positions unless we can understand why. So I think it's wrong just to throw your hands up and say it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. doesn't mean we have to justify it and agree with it, but to understand
there is no explanation, no justification, nothing that would rationalize and me give him a pass for doing what he did. It wasn't like he even had a gun in his hand, or he was on the field commanding of doing. There was a preemptive Minority Report attack against another country's military leader in another country, and he may have even been invited and set up an ambush for this thing. I'm going, this is all rule, which I think war shouldn't have any rules anyway. I'm just like, like the Star Trek thing, man. It's like, there are no rules. Let's rock.
Are you a cryptocurrency?
Because that's the only way that there's going to be any kind of, aversion to this kind of bullshit. Is that the price has, and I'm like, yeah, but there's guys that come across the border and go to Washington and blow them up. And I used to kid, they want a map. I mean, I don't care. It's not me I'm at war with these guys. Who are they at war with? The same people I'm at war with. They're violating my rights. They're taking away, my ability to defend myself. They're taking away your voice. They're taking away your resources and the money of the future generations. And I'm supposed to, but they represent me? Hell no. And this is just neon flashing examples of that. All right, I pulled up a Ron Paul TV ad. It's a 30-second troop support Ron Paul. I just pulled this up when you brought that up. Let's see what we got here. All right, and this.
Well, what I'm talking about is like 8 minutes, 10 minutes long.
Yeah, I know, but I just want to see what this says.
Sure.
A proud military veteran who served our nation, Ron Paul salutes and supports our troops who protect and defend our freedom. But who do the troops support? Ron Paul. The record shows they're standing up for him. Our troops have spoken, and Ron Paul is the choice.
Okay, the point that they were making here was...
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
The point they were making here is that when they did by occupation on the Federal Election Commission reporting of donation or whatever... Ron Paul was getting more donations from the military than the rest of the candidates combined. And it was enormous. And there was tons of videos. And it's these very videos that go away. That they're starting to and it's gone. The history is being rewritten. This is 1984. They're following that manual. And George Orwell knew it. It was like he was in... freaking time machine or something. He just wanted to make sure everybody, let me tell you what's going to happen. It's going to be like this because that's their plan. I can see, here we go. What are you going to do about it? I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting too. Keep in mind, if we go with the assumption that's the deep state that has been pushing for wars and now they finally got him to bite at it. I mean, Trump's not an idiot. He's just been fighting these deep state people since before he got in office. I mean, he's been fighting. I mean, they literally just a few weeks ago, just like Tucker was talking about, were there on the House floor testifying how Donald Trump is this evil, stupid ass and blah, blah, blah. These are the people of the deep state said that we were kept out of the loop.
There have been a...
Now he's doing it. So the question is he capitulating to them at this point?
There's been a bunch of military leaders in other countries. Hell, Taiwan had helicopters. China may have had something to do with it. The military leaders and their aides and aides of aides. And all of a sudden they go down in a helicopter and they're all dead. Then you have this guy, that guy, that. This, they didn't do it. Wasn't the clandestine over the ocean of kind of something. This was on the street, out in the open of, it wasn't the secret, kind of Mossad operation where Iranian scientists just wind up dead.
Of course.
This is out in the open.
Trump does things, Ernie. What do you think?
He's a freaking moron.
If Trump's going to do something,
moron.
It's never about behind the scenes. That's not how Trump...
Out in the front, moron. On display, moron. Moron.
Well, you know what? For what it's worth, though, at least he's doing it straight up for the world to see, which is usually how he does things.
I'm a straight up moron.
As much as you don't like what he did, I certainly prefer it out in the open, so at least the whole damn world can agree or disagree whatever he's doing and knows it. It's not some Assad thing and behind the scenes and all. I mean, I'm not saying he's not doing
there,
it.
He's
all about marketing. It's all about TV marketing.
All right, here we're coming back. Here we go.
Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, ain't that Merca? Merca, great geek, Merca, John Cougar, Mellon Camp, Merca.
Merca. Feeling patriotic today, Ernie?
Merca. You know, this is, ain't that America, home of the free? Ain't that America? Yeah, is this America? I'm like, oh, I'm wow. I can't wait to get, small and on the road and I just need to, be active. I need to outdo stuff. We'll take the show and the site and, start teaching people. See, this is the one thing, is that we always get better tools as time goes on. And a lot of times we have to go back to the old fashioned of, I just got a DVD in their face, because they're like, echo chamber of you're not allowed, and Facebook and you're not and you can't. And I'm going, oh, yeah? Well, we'll bypass and here we go. Well, then what? We go on the road, and they're going to have to do something. They're actively, openly try to ignore whatever come after. I don't care. Because man, this is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not it. And I'm going, I don't know. The whole purpose of them is to defend me against this kind of crap. Who do I report them to? Who do I go? Oh, you go vote. Oh, really? Okay, that's it? That's how that's working? Yeah, okay. Well, I'll see how that works out. Nope.
During the break for the live audience, we were just making Ernie and I were commenting, and he said, well, God, he's just making it so blatant. And he didn't do it behind the scenes and like doing Mossad kind of thing. That's the point. When Donald Trump is doing something like this, he's not doing it underhandedly. He's making it for a show almost. He wants people to know. If he's going to pull the trigger, he wants it known, and therefore he gets more mileage from it probably.
What mileage? See, this is what these guys, it's up against. Russia, China, Iran just did joint naval military drills, Straits of Hormuz. We got, hypersonic missiles, silkworm missiles,
right?
Ship to ship, kind of, man, we're done. They will take out our Navy in navies are sitting ducks. This is the stupidest thing ever, which is why they got Space Force, and we're going to, we need to have, how fast can Elon Musk make, and will he even do it?
That's true.
They go, we need a bunch of troop carriers to go whip ass. He goes, nah. And they'll go, nope, we're going to mandate.
hey, perhaps that's the new Defense Department. He's trying to bring in Silicon Valley. He's like, look, for forget computers. If you want, we'll have Silicon Valley be the next Defense Department, and you guys can make space satellites and Elon Musk.
Nah, it's going to be robots making robots that fly and drones. And Terminator.
And all of a sudden, Tim Cook becomes a Trump supporter. I mean, it could happen that quick. I mean, maybe that's what it's about. I don't know.
I don't care. You see, this is why all this stuff.
Or you do care, Ernie Style.
No, hell, I don't. I do not care what their justification is. They're going to try and rationalize and do in secret, in the movie of, and the Fox News and the Babe Says. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what your reason is. What the hell are we over there caring about any of this stuff, anyways? Why are we there? It nothing good, nothing for me. We have a net surplus of petroleum in this country already anyway. We knew that from back in the day. Of course, we got, all kinds of oil.
But it's not linked to the dollar. Oh, come on, but it's the petrodollar. It's not the oil itself. It's the petrodollar. That's what that is.
Well, there's your problem right there.
Yeah, exactly. I get it. So I know Donald Trump's a horrible president because he didn't solve that problem in 3 years, and I get that, but,
Yeah, damn Skippy. What does he do? He goes to Powell, Jerome. Okay, I'll make sure I get the right one. He goes to Jerome Powell, head of the Fed, and he goes, yeah, you're not lowering enough fast enough and negative enough and something. Then I got Bernanke going out there. Yeah, we need the Fed to buy private securities. And which private securities are going to buy? The top end blue chip? No, they're going to buy, the pensions or hedge funds or their buddies or banks. Crap. Just like they did with the TARP. Crap. To the tune of trillions of dollars that are still on their balance sheet. And I kept asking. It was Suzanne Trimbath is the only one that even freaking answered. I asked Tim. I asked, Schiff. I asked all. I go, Where is all that toxic asset? I've talked to people at the discussion group. Where? What is that? What happened to it? Oh, yeah, they liquidated, wrote it off. No, they didn't. They hold all that crap that is nothing on their balance sheet. It's just sitting there. You know, they go, well, we got away with it for years, you know, of having trillions of dollars of garbage. We just have like 10 times trillions of dollars in garbage. What's the difference? They just monetize the debt.
Again, it's not justifying that the economy is, you know, that Trump is supposedly saving the economy. He's not doing anything to help it. He's just further putting dirt on top of the grave of this economy. I get that. But this is also perfect for Dr. Paul. Dr. Paul himself said, I think it was around 2012 when he ran, and we've talked about it on the show, that in 2008, if he was elected, there was a chance he could have turned around the economy if at that point. But by 2012, if I recall properly, I think you talked about this, was that he basically said, look, I still will run. I still will do my best, you know, quote unquote. But the ship has sailed, that those 4 years of Obama with the QE, whatever, that basically the ship had sailed, that even if Ron Paul got in 2012, it was impossible at that point to really stop what has to happen, that the deleveraging the entire economy and the structure of the dollar and all of that. So therefore, when Donald Trump gets in, it's like, okay, how come he hasn't solved the problem? Well, that ship has sailed, and Dr. Paul said so. So therefore, the question I would have for Dr. Paul that you should ask him, I mean, I don't mind asking, I just don't want to take the time away from you, but the thing is, you should ask, what if you were Donald Trump, is there a way that he could have averted the economy problem, whatever we have? Is there a way that he could have somehow just shut down the Federal Reserve and gone home and everything just figures itself out? If that's the question. It was sincere question. What would Dr. Paul think Trump should have done, you know, to change it? Or is there a way to change the downside? He said himself that there wasn't.
I tell Ron exactly how to do it. Because I've been.
Oh, really? Okay.
All right. Okay. Ahead. I got up showing up on the site here real quick. I love it when a plan comes together. You know, Hannibal from the A-Team. And the headline is, military contractors Raytheon, Lockheed Martin see stock prices soar amid Iran crisis. Of course they did. You know, this is the power. When I was running for Secretary of State a couple of times, they're always, oh, you're a heartbeat away from being governor. How are you going to do governor? What about governor? Are you going to be governor? I go, it's real simple. A piece of legislation comes across my desk that violates the life, liberty, or property of a single individual. It gets a veto next. Boom, done. Budget's not bound next. It does. You violate the next. Veto, 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 veto. When you guys get your crap together, you know, let me know. Or if you can override all the vetoes, peace. You know, it's not my problem, not my responsibility. You want to override it, not yourself. Veto. Veto, 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 veto. He doesn't do that. You know, he negotiates. He makes a deal. How much can we spend on, you know, domestic and infrastructure,
Ernie,
and whatever?
How does vetoing and making sure we have a balanced budget, how does that change the problem that we already have from generations of, you know, since being off the gold standard and of the debt that we have?
Well, first stop the bleeding.
Having a balanced budget doesn't deal with the interest and all the entitlements.
No, it's not just a budget. It's just violating another individual's rights. That is not what we do here. And I go, veto. You want to violate their rights? Go do it some other way, you know, without me.
It's a principled position. I get it. That'd be great for him to do it.
Is this thing on?
Does it?
You're all free. I'm going golfing.
Ernie, look.
It's my inauguration speech.
I complete agreement. Okay, so he should have done that. I agree. But do you really think that would change and change the economy?
Don't care.
And feel it?
You take responsibility for yourself. Who's he taking responsibility for? Who's he serving? What's he doing to be a big giant solid? You know, what's the favor here? What's he doing for me? What did he do? He saved the economy. He saved Wall Street. He saved the pension, the hedge funds, the banks. Who's he saving here? Is the Fed still around? Am I getting even an audit? Not that I believe anything they say. I'm just telling you, he's not doing any. The first day their drone strike in Yemen. First day of his administration, he gets inaugurated on Friday, Saturday, they're bombing Yemen. I'm going, what the hell? Who is he serving? Did he have anything to do with that?
Maybe it just goes to the heart of the whole Trump report and such, is that the fact that Americans put in this bloviating, you know, reality show star was a sign of the ultimate desperation. Just like what liberals are looking for their, you know, Bernie Sanders anti-establishment. It wasn't about the policies anymore with Donald Trump. It wasn't about...
No, they hated everything else.
It was about this country is so overwhelmed with rats, or you can call it the swamp. It was basically a Hail Mary of the American people just saying, look, let's bang together to at least see who is still in control of this country culturally so we can decide what facts are and what to do. I mean, it's a culture war, and that's what Donald Trump has helped save. And Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes, being a liberal, saying that is an example.
Can we have anti-war, not going to war with everybody as a part of our culture? When's that happen?
All right. Well, anyway, that's the reason. If Donald Trump was not voted on by people, I don't believe, to go in and just fix the economy and pull out of the wars. It was simply just to get the heart of America back.
Yeah, anti-war.
Oh, it's worked good. It's worked fine.
Well, I want anti-war. I want it to not be war. I vote not war. Let's vote. I vote not war. Make me vote. Okay, not war. How about that? You know,
haven't you been impressed? How many times has Donald Trump been pushed to the edge of war each time? And you're like, oh, Donald Trump's going to get suckered into it.
He assassinated a guy.
Both the neocons, Lindsey Graham even, and the liberals, they're all bashing him. Oh, he's not a war hawk enough. He's a pacifist.
He's ruining it. They're happy now.
He's done that more than any president I'm aware of, okay, of pulling back from the brink of the deep state pushing
him there. Right before his re-election, he starts war with Iran.
Exactly, and that's my point, Ernie. He just told, whatever you want, don't eat that apple, and he friggin' ate that apple and he pushed the button. There's a reason why. I'm not sure what it is, and I know that you know all the facts by now, but I don't.
Don't care.
I don't understand.
They're not going to. I don't give a shit what their reason
is. Yeah, I know you don't.
They're going to come up with some blah, 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 don't care. I'm going, wow, and I don't care. You know, this is really, I don't care. I mean, it's going to be, I don't care. I guarantee it. I'm just like, what the hell are they thinking? I don't care. You know, it's said Lockheed Martin, famous for its fighter planes, helicopters, and missiles, saw its stock price spiked over $416 a share, a jump of 7% almost overnight. Other defense corporations like Raytheon and General Dynamics saw similar increases in their company's value. Meanwhile, Northrop Grumman saw a 9% rise in its share price as the stock market rushed to buy a piece of a highly profitable company. Why? You know, this is like our friend John Green that goes and he's like, yeah, it's called the war portfolio. As much as he'll be against it, he goes, yep, I know what I'm going to go buy. And he does, and he makes bank on this because this is why they do it. You want to know why? This is why. You know, I'm no. And it's all hypocritical bullshit. And I'm just, all right. And the one thing that Trump has been doing this entire time is ass-kissing of whatever Israel. I mean, if you wanted to see some common whatever the hell, it's Israel. And for him to go in to the election cycle, you know, and, you know, with this on his plate, is he's going to make it a thing of, and what's all the people going to be doing? All the Trump supporters. Yeah, you know, as long as, you know, it's a Trump war, yeah, we got to, you know, kick ass and war. And he's going to turn this whole thing into a justification of war or something for something. What's he going to do? What's he going to rationalize that this war is different than all the others? This one is justified of this one. And Iran, especially with Russia and China doing joint naval military drills, this is not Iraq. This is not Yemen. This is not Libya. This is not Syria. This is not Lebanon. This is not Jordan. This is not. This is no, hell no. Kuwait? Are you kidding me? You know, with Iraq and all that, I'm going, no, this is freaking Iran. And Iran has been a thorn in their side since forever. And this is not going to go well. Now, not at all. I can't wait to get on the road, mobile, trimmed down for what's coming.
Look, I guess I have to get going. I don't disagree with you, at least in principle, with much of this. I don't agree with what Donald Trump did, at least on the surface. I don't have all the facts. I don't like. I mean, there's so many different reasons behind why it's no, including possibly throwing away the election and getting ourselves mired even further. And is this whole thing a distraction from the economy? We can go all day, but there's one thing that I know you're going to disagree with me, and we're probably going to be all, you know, heated up at the end here. But I, at this point, and I think many Trump supporters probably would say this, is I may not agree with his actions because I don't understand them all yet. I'm very curious why, because he has, again, it's his election to lose. But I do trust his intentions. I may not think he's right. Maybe he's wrong. But I trust his intentions are what he believes is the best interest for America. I really do believe that.
No, I may agree with you there, but that doesn't mean I like his opinion.
Yeah, well, there's something to be said about that. So I don't want to sound like some of the cute cliche that Tim and I, or at least I bring up on the show, trust in Trump, TID. But, you know, I've always found that usually there's always another level to what's going on. I mean, it's just the general politics, and especially with the poker player Trump. So we shall see. And by the way, I really have to go, but you did bring up a good point about Israel as well. I mean, a lot of this could be, maybe it was proactive, not an attack on us, but on Israel. And maybe there's some kind of major agreement with Israel about this, and that was really defending them. That could be what this was about, too. So there's more to come out with this, and we shall see. So it's always interesting with Donald Trump in the White House and with the Freedom's Phoenix.
Here, oh, here, dude, got just announced. Lincoln Chafee, former Republican senator and independent governor, seeks Libertarian Party nomination now. All right. Reason. Here comes Lincoln Chafee. You know, what's he going to do? Is he pro-war? Anti-war? What? Yeah, they're not going to be anti-war enough. There's no way. You know, I can see where this is going. Well, we got blah, blah, they'll hedge your BS. Bumper sticker. All right.
Yeah, you know, the one thing we should be watching is the Trump supporter. I mean, granted, I don't know what ratings or polls we even trust anymore, but that's going to be the barometer. And I think Trump really has his finger on the pulse of his supporters. So if you start to see a waning there of his base, they're all anti-war. I mean, most people who voted for Trump are tired of the wars. They didn't trust the deep state, and so he's dangerously pushing his supporters there. So there's some reason why he did that. That's the point.
Well, Chafee's campaign here says, protect our freedoms, tell the truth, and promises that under a President Chafee, we'll see no more wars, no more reckless spending. I'm like, yeah, isn't that what Trump said? I thought he said that. You know.
All right, Ernie. I'm sure this won't be resolved by next week. So we'll have plenty to talk about. And we went through the whole show and didn't even talk about Bombshell. We should talk about that sometime. That was
it was fun. It was all right.
At least you got to see Charlize. Yeah, she was looking hot. You know, yeah. Megyn Kelly, one. So anyway, we had a double date with Ernie and myself and our wives and saw Bombshell. So that was fun. And I think we're one of the few non-liberals in the audience.
Got to see legs. Roger Ailes likes legs. Bombshell babes.
Actually, for what it's worth, guys, John Lithgow played Roger Ailes, and he was astounding. And also, one other thing with the makeup, it turns out.
Turns out what? I lost him. All right. Well, peace, guys. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Trump report next time. Guarantee it.